So you've probably noticed with the background noise that the kids are in with us today. So kids, is anybody listening? Kids, thanks for being with us today. Give me a wave. You know, it's great that we're like a family, isn't it? You know, I don't know who the oldest is in the room. I'm not going to look at this table here. But we've got ages from, you know, Rory, I think, how old's Rory now? 5 months, to people who are significantly older than that. But it's just great that we have just have such a big spread of, you know, through the generations. And, we just love that. We just love that. You liking the tables? Is that okay? Yeah, good. So we're just trying to make it feel a bit different. Don't want you coming back thinking it's all going to be the same, because it clearly isn't. But, you know, I just want to just quickly this morning, just have a quick reflection on just where we've been and maybe where we're heading. I heard the other day that when we move into September, that it becomes a new meteorological season. I didn't realise this. So apparently June, July and August are the summer seasons, according to meteorologists, and when we come to September, that's us heading into the autumn. Now, I thought that's quite interesting, because you're clearly moving into a new season. But I thought it was interesting how we can divide seasons up so easily like that over 3 months, because the truth is that seasons don't really have like clean breaks, do they? I mean, it's supposed to be autumn, but I think we're still looking at summer weather this week, you know. And for us, as we move from where we've been to where we are now to where we're going, it's not a clean break. You know, the pandemic is still here. I can see that from your masks. But we are in a kind of transition. It feels like we're moving from one season to another, doesn't it? Does it? Yeah, good. And I think, so I think that we have to kind of acknowledge that, we have to be ready for that, but also we have to be realistic and say that moving through these seasons is not and will not be easy and straightforward. This pandemic, this past 18 months has been hard work, hasn't it? It's been really, really hard work. If we go back to the start of last year of 2020, just before COVID hit out, we were busy. Remember, we started the year of 2020 at Calman Community Centre, and then they had some safety issue, and they closed it quickly, and we came here, and we felt like it was right that we came here, that situation that had been created, that God was using it to bring us back here for a short time, and to spring us on to something else. And I guess the reality was that we felt coming here at the beginning of 2020 was going to be a temporary situation, and how right we were, because we ended up like not coming back here for 18 months. So how more temporary can you get? But what we didn't realise, I think, at that time, that this way of gathering physically together, that had actually become a temporary thing, and we were going to be sort of dispersed and shut away in our homes. And then just, I think, as we were, coming to terms with changes at the beginning of 2020 before COVID, that's when COVID happened, and the doors closed on Sunday mornings, so we went online. That was exciting at first. We felt like we were reaching more people than we'd ever reached before. We were certainly pulling people in from further afield, that's for sure. But we quickly realised after a short time that filming wasn't as much fun as we thought it was going to be. And actually filming every week was stressful. It was stressful. It just never seemed to be quite right when you were recording your talk or doing your worship. One take was never enough. In fact, sometimes 20 takes was never enough. And then we found it that church online and filming and that thing, that all became our new routine, didn't it? It became our norm. I don't know what you did in the morning, but we would get up, we'd try and have some breakfast, We'd try and get dressed for church. I'm sure most of you didn't. Sitting watching church in your jammies. But it all became routine, didn't it? It became the new normal. I'm trying to actually do a thing of not using the phrases that were added to our language through COVID. But new normal seems to be one that's going to hang around. But that did become our new normal. And I think after a fairly short period of time, any enjoyment or excitement or fun that we had for this new online expression of church was starting to fade fast. Because I certainly felt, and I know talking to many of you guys, that it was starting to become a grind because we were yearning to be together. And we actually saw that in attendances online. They started to kind of fluctuate and dip and that sort of thing. And, you know, and we realized, like, clearly this cannot be a long-term option, you know, to do church online. And it just felt like that just very slowly the joy and excitement of this new expression of church was kind of draining away from us. And then I know for Lorraine and I and for the leadership team, we were beginning to ask questions like, who's in our church? Where are our people? Because we weren't seeing anyone. We were all locked away in our homes. We think everybody's still around, but we're not 100% sure. And I remember ourselves, the leadership team, we were firing out texts and making phone calls to just, you know, check in with people, make sure they're okay and they're still with us. And then, so that was the kind of church side of things, but also everyone, all of us, had our own stuff going on in life. You know, people were getting pregnant, so we have Rory Yule with us for the first time, but he's been around for 5 months, so... But people were getting pregnant, having babies. People were suffering. People were experiencing bereavement. There were others who were planning weddings under really stressful conditions because of COVID. People were going through illness. We had furlough. We had redundancy. We had homeschooling. Anybody enjoy homeschooling? No, hands down. Working from home. And I think as well, like being just generally being a parent became a completely different ball game from what we've been used to before. And I think one of the things as well that was strange was if because we were kind of at home and everything was kind of closed down, it felt like we should have had more time. But I don't know. I always felt like our time seemed to just drain away and get filled up with other things. But through all of that season, thankfully, we do have one, and we did have one sure and constant certainty, and that is this, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know for me, like, I'm glad that when I look back, not just over the past 18 months, but through my life, that there's been a constant line through my life where Jesus has been present. You know, he doesn't come and go. He doesn't change with the seasons. There's not a season with Jesus and a season without Jesus. Being with Jesus is one season. He's there all the time. He was with us throughout the last season. He'll be with us in this season, whatever that looks like. And he will be with us in this season to come. And because he doesn't change, that means that he hasn't stopped working. You know, God was still at work in our lives. And because he doesn't change, that means that he didn't stop blessing us either. And although that might be a kind of pretty bleak picture all in of what we've been through the past 18 months, that's not the whole picture. I think one thing I've learned is that it's in the times of frustration, of disappointment, where we're feeling pain, where we're feeling grief, and things aren't going the way we want it to, that's the canvas where God paints his blessing. It's in these moments where we think that it can't get any worse that we see the blessing of God most obviously. And if you think of your own circumstances through last year, look at what you endured and what you went through. If you think about that and then think about how God has blessed you through those times as well. I mean, you're here, aren't you? You're here. And also in the past 18 months, Love Falkirk has become something far bigger and far more influential than we could ever have planned for. I mean, I think over this time, the blessing that God has poured into that ministry is incredible. At the peak of our food pantry usage, we were delivering to homes all over Falkirk. And I think, I remember that summer, Blair and I seemed to, it was like a full-time job. I think we were at the Cameron Juniors every day doing something with food and with people. And you know, I would say that in this past 18 months, although our church has been absent in this context, we have touched more lives than at any time during our whole history of our church. Because people were in need, and this church stepped up to meet those needs and do what Jesus called us to do, which is to look out and go after the poor and make sure that they are being blessed. And we did that. And I don't say that to boast. I do that to give honor to God, because God used us in a situation that was desperate for a lot of people. And we have touched more people in the past 18 months than at any time in our history. We were blessed with an incredible amount of funding to outside organizations. You know, so we thank Ruth for that, for pulling all that together. But, you know, I think I always get these numbers wrong, so I'm just going to, sorry, Ruth, this number will be completely wrong. But I think we have received funding somewhere in the region of £40,000 over the past 18 months, which has met needs and blessed so many people, particularly in Calman, but across Falkirk. And we've got great stories of how that's all come together. And also, you know, we've had some financial challenges as a church as well. We thank God that we were never in the red, and that we won't be in the red, because our trustees have rectified that situation. But even in that, the midst of our financial fragility, we gave more money in the past year to 2 years than we've done at any other time. And I think that's honouring to God, that even in our difficult times financially as a church, that we've been able to bless others by giving out more than we've done before. So God is good, yeah? God is faithful, and God has not come up short during this past season. But now we're moving at the back end of 2021. I believe that God is bringing us into a new season. And I don't know how long that season is going to be. It could be a short season. It could be a long season. But I do believe that God has been preparing us for this kind of coming back moment that we're in just now. But I think he's still preparing us for what's to come. But one thing's for sure, that in this season that we're going into, we can't just pick up from where we left off 18 months ago. Okay, we do realize that, don't we? Like, nothing's the same, apart from Jesus. Nothing's the same. Everything has changed so much. And as we enter this new season, what I wanted was that we were all going to be fresh and ready to get going. But I think the reality is there's a lot of tiredness around. Anybody tired? And I think it's been a weird one, because in some respects, we've not done as much as we would normally do, and yet we're more tired. And I think tiredness is a weird thing. If you do too much, you'll get tired. But also, if you're lazy, you become tired as well. If you don't get enough sleep, you feel tired. If you get too much sleep, you feel tired. And so tiredness isn't just about being too busy or doing too much stuff. There's something been just hanging over us for so long now that there's a lot of tiredness there. And the reason I'll kind of want to point that out is that I think we can all point to stuff in our own lives where we've maybe become too busy, or our energy, whether that's physical, emotional, or nervous energy, has gone to other things. But even in church, you know, before COVID, like we were busy. You know, we had, I think we had something like 80% of people who would say that Falkirk Vineyard was their church were serving on a team in one way, shape, or form. So we were busy doing stuff. But the problem we have now is that because I think we are all feeling emotionally, physically, mentally tired, that we can't just start up everything that we were doing before. If we want to do well, then we have to do better. And what I mean with that is that we have to work smarter, not harder. And I think if I'm being honest, we were a hard-working church. We are a hard-working church. But I think we have to maybe change that to some degree, because what I don't want is that we go into this new season and then we're all burnt out after 4 weeks. It says this in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 10. Using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. When we're tired, it's like trying to chop wood with a blunt axe. It's harder. So we are determined that we want to keep us all as fresh as we possibly can, so that maybe we don't work as hard as we did in some respects, but we do better at what we're doing. So if we're to fulfill God's calling in this season, and if you're to fulfill God's calling that he has in your life in this season, then we need to sharpen the blade. Because if we don't sharpen the blade now, at the start of this season, then we're not going to have anything left for what's to come. Some of you have heard me talking, using these terms already, but you know, in order to work smarter, I believe that we have to simplify how we do things. And again, by simplifying, we're not necessarily doing less, but rather we make adjustments to how we did things before so that we're not draining the energy and life out of ourselves. So as we return to church today, there are quite a few things missing that we would normally have done. So you didn't get a tea or a coffee and a donut this morning. Did you notice that? Did anybody miss that? You didn't sign your kids into FV Kids. We didn't have a full band this morning rocking the worship. Well, you guys do rock. But this is because I believe that we have to do the right things at the right pace for the right reasons. We need to do the right things at the right pace for the right reasons. The conditions that we face just now actually won't allow us anyway to jump right in and pick up where we left off 18 months ago. So for example, the kitchen here at Green Park Centre is not accessible to us. So even if we wanted to do the tea and coffee, we couldn't do it because we can't. The kitchen's closed because of COVID. But we didn't have all these things, and yet we did worship God together, didn't we? Didn't we? We worship God. I felt God's presence in the room this morning. Did we believe God was here? You know, we sing that song, "There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope, your presence, Lord." You know, I'm sure at some point we will have tea and coffee and donuts, and we will have a full band rocking us out in worship. But we'll always have his presence. We'll always have his presence. That is what we come for, isn't it? I'm not asking that rhetorically. I'm actually asking, that is what we come to church for, is it? We come to receive and to be in the presence of God as the people of God. And our condition right now might be that we're tired. Our condition right now might be that we're not having a coffee together and we don't have drums or an electric guitar and we don't have kids' church this morning either. But we are still positioned towards God. So the conditions that we feel might be tiredness, but the position that we're in is facing towards God. Jesus said that should be our priority, that we should seek the kingdom of God above all else, didn't he? And live righteously, and he will give us everything we need. So as we kind of restart today, my encouragement to you is like, seek God first. Don't seek great music. Don't seek a donut. Don't seek necessarily that I want to get here, get my kids into FV Kids and get me some peace and quiet, because that didn't happen today for sure. But seek God first. So Lorraine and I, along with our leadership team, we've been asking God what he wants us to prioritize as we kind of build up Sunday mornings again. And disappointingly for me, God didn't tell us to go and get more donuts. I thought, what, donuts are not a priority? That's a shame. But we can have fellowship without donuts. And he didn't tell us to get the band back together, because we can have worship just with a guitar and a couple of voices. And he didn't tell us to upgrade our graphics and our visual presentation. But there was one thing that God, we felt clear as a leadership, that God wanted us to prioritize for our Sundays. And as we sought God and we talked about what God had put in our hearts, he clearly told us that we are to prioritize our children. Matthew 19, it's that famous verses that just kind of land in the middle of Matthew 19, in the middle of this chapter, without really even a whole lot of context. It just says that one day children were brought to Jesus in the hope that he would lay hands on them and pray over them. And it says the disciples shooed them off. But Jesus intervened and said, leave the children alone. Don't prevent them from coming to me, because God's kingdom is made up of people like these. We, as I've said, we've always been good at serving in Falkirk Vineyard. We've never been short of people willing to serve. Our teams have, in the main, always been full. Jobs are done really well. But the kids team has always been more stressful and exhausting than any other team. Okay, if you're on the kids team, you can shout a loud amen to that. And I've got to confess that some of that, or maybe most of that, or all of that, is my fault. Because I think we made the kids team work too hard. I honestly do. I think the setup and the set down was exhausting. And the day that you're on the kids rota was like putting in a double shift. And because of that, I think the joy of serving in the kids team for a lot of people had gone. So for me personally, I want to apologize for that, because it felt like we were prioritizing our kids, but actually it's one of these things we were working too hard, and instead of doing that, we need to work smarter. But we do need a kids team. We need a kids team because we have to serve and teach and disciple our children. And if we need a kids team, then we also need someone to lead that team. We need someone to make that happen. So I'm delighted to be able to introduce to you today the person that is going to do that. The person that is doing that, who has already prepared all the bits and pieces around the room for the kids in that very quiet corner at the back. So, guys, without any further introduction from me, just with much applause and cheering, can you welcome Lindsay to the front?
I can take my mask off. That's fun. So, good morning, everyone. I am genuinely buzzing to be back. In case you haven't met me yet, I've been screaming at everyone. Didn't mean to. So, as Andrew and Lorraine have mentioned, I will be stepping into the role to oversee the kids' ministry here at Falkirk Vineyard. I would like to take this opportunity, though, to thank everyone who has done this before me. There has been Rachel and Lois and Kenny and Sandra who have done an outstanding job with all of the kids' ministry up to now. So can we please give them a round of applause, because we need to honour that. I mean, I don't know if everyone watched the kids' video, but what I would say is that they have done 75 weeks of videos, and they have done a little kids, a big kids video throughout this entire thing, and it has been So much hard work, but what a blessing. My kids have loved watching it. They have loved sitting down in front of the TV to watch it. But more than that, they have felt connected to Falkirk Vineyard still. And when we told them this morning we were coming back, they were like, yes! And from about 8 o'clock this morning, they were saying, is it time to go? And I said, no, definitely not. But this morning, I have had the privilege to share with you what our hearts are for the kids' ministry, and just explain to you what that might look like now. Because as Andrew said, we're coming back, we're hopefully going to be fresher, we're going to work smarter, and it is going to look different. So as I pondered the question of what is our vision for kids' ministry, I began to think about what I want for my kids here. I want a ministry that introduces children to God, their Father. Not this God that they just hear about all the time. I want them to be introduced to their Father. A place where they can speak to him, learn about him, and build relationships with everyone in their church family as well. That's you, by the way. I want a place where they can learn about how beautiful the Bible is. I don't want it just to be a tale of stories. I want them to see how beautiful the Bible is and how it was weaved together. I want them to know that God has set them apart to do his work, and how they get to be a part of the kingdom of God. This is not for someone else, this is for them. And I wonder, for each and every kid in this room, what will their story be? What part of their life will just look like the kingdom of God, and what is their role in that? You see, I picture a place where we, the church, rejoice and love our children. We celebrate them. I never want our kids to feel like it's a burden. I don't want our kids to feel like it's a burden to come and serve on Kids Church, or like being with them is less than being in here, because let me tell you for certain, it absolutely is not. We can learn from them. I'm going to share a little story of, if you don't know me, my little girl's Grace, and she's got a friend, Seth, and they are in primary two together now, and they have known each other since the day they were born. And they have entered into school together, very blessed to go to the same school together, and we're having a race. And last year, Grace and Seth were out in the playground, and one of the little buddies fell in the playground. And they came home and they said, we prayed for him because he fell and he was crying, so we just prayed for him in the playground. And we were like, what? And they were like, yeah, we just like put our hands and we just prayed for him. And we were astounded, because the reality is that the kids get it already. They're already doing it. They love Jesus. They accept it as a fact of life. They are close to God. And they don't need to be told to speak the truth about Jesus, to pray to Jesus, or to pray for other people. They already get it. And we get to learn from them in so many ways. And we can learn from them just as much as what we get to teach them. So my vision for kids is that it will be a place where our kids can worship, they can seek God, and they can thrive in the presence of God, their Father, and learn about just how beautiful the Bible can be and what their story is. Now, the question, of course, is how do we do that? So that is a totally different question for me. How do we do it? You see, with me being a teacher, you might think it's going to be all glitter, sunshine, stars, amazing crafts, with new games to introduce. But you see, I am also a mum, so that's not happening. We are not going to be bringing out the glitter every week. We are not going to be having super duper crafts every week. That's not how we're going to go. That is exhausting. It's exhausting with my two children. It will be exhausting with all the children. So instead, we're going to simplify things. In our sessions, we are going to read a story. There's then going to be a time for the leaders and the children to chat about what they thought, sharing experiences, telling stories, learning from each other. You see, the whole part of having our kids as part of the church is so that we can be in relationship together. So I don't want to spend all the time doing crafts. I want to spend the time getting to know the children and the children getting to know you. We will then do a craft, a puzzle, acting activity. I can see you're excited about that. Music activity, in which the kids will be leading the activity. It's going to be very simple for us. In the preschool, we've included games to play into the lesson because we know that they're 2 to 4. They don't need to sit for 45 minutes and do a Bible lesson. What they need to do is be able to play and explore and be who God created them to be. One of the things that we really want to prioritize is the building of relationships between the families and the children, and building what we know about God. So at the end of each week, I'm going to tell you about what the story is that we've been doing, so that you can hopefully sit down at the dinner table that day on a Sunday or during the week and talk with your children about God and about what they've learned and about what you've learned. I'm not going to go into the curriculum today of what we're doing, but I do want to show you some of the books that we're going to be using. These are beautiful. They're very well written. They actually skip through all of the Bible. They do stories. They actually bring different parts of the Bible together very well. They are basically amazing. So if you're a parent and you're looking for a book to buy your kids, this is it. So if you can see, this is just one of them. It's called The Storm That Stopped. It's obviously about Jesus in the boat. Now, this is going to be one of them. We also have God's Very Good Idea, and this is about celebrating differences, and it goes all throughout the Bible just telling us about how God celebrates differences. We have The Garden, The Curtain, and The Cross, and that basically goes from the birth of Jesus right through to the resurrection and just kind of pieces that together for children. So that's going to be what we are doing. I have also made a Spotify playlist, which is called FE Kids Worship. If you are in preschool, we're going to be dancing and singing to that every week. So play it in the house. Get your kids to sing along to it, because then when they come to church, they'll all know it. So Spotify playlist, FE Kids Worship, and let them get to worship with you in the house, and then they can also worship at church. So in short, the lessons will be based in these books, but we want you as parents to really dig deep with your kids after church each week, and also worship together in the house as well as at church. So what can you do? I can hear you thinking that. I know that's what you're asking. So if you cast your mind back to the first 6 months of lockdown, you might remember when the song The Blessing took off. So there was groups doing it everywhere, loads of different people doing it. There was, 50 people on a screen singing different parts of The Blessing. Everyone was moved by it. It wasn't just Christians. There was people at my work talking about it. Everyone was listening to the song. It was affecting so many people. People felt it. They were moved by it. Let me remind you of some of the lyrics to that song. May his favor be upon you and 1,000 generations and your family and your children and their children and their children and their children and their children. Every now, even now, when I was genuinely shedding a tear as I was writing this, because that song is coming straight from the heart of God. You see, when we sing, we're singing about God's favor falling upon our families and falling upon the children. God's hand to be in the lives of our generations to come. Our children and their children and their children. We sing this. We raise our hands. We're crying out to God for the blessing to fall around us. But the question that began roaming around in my mind was, how much can God use me, use us in this? We are his disciples. We've been called to be his hands and feet. We've been called to love people, to bless people, and to bring the little children to him. So actually, when we are singing, your family and their children, may his favor be upon you. How can we not be that favor? How can we not be the blessing and the love that falls onto our children? If we want our children to be blessed for generations, we have got to be willing to be the blessing in their lives. If we want it, we've got to be God's blessing. We should want to be part of showing children the beauty that it is to be in a relationship with Jesus. You see, guys, this is a mistake. Being in our kids' lives, showing them Jesus, it is a privilege. It is not a chore. It's an absolute privilege to be able to walk alongside young people, to speak into their lives for Jesus. What a privilege. The great news, of course, is that you can all serve on the kids' rota. I mean, clapping, privilege, you're welcome. You're welcome. So as Andrew and I have spoken about before, we don't want anyone to burn out. And at the moment, there's no other rotas. Okay, so we're not having welcome, we're not having teas and coffees, we're breaking down worship, so the only rota that you can serve on this church is kids. So basically what I'm saying is, if you want to serve in the church, you're going to come and see me very soon, okay? Now, it is going to look really different, it's going to look very simple, and every single person in this room, once you're PVG'd, can serve in the kids' rota. I do not want to hear anyone saying, I'm too old, or I'm too busy, or I work shifts, or I'm just not sure, because actually, you have something unique that you can speak into the lives of our children. You've gone through things. You can comfort them. You can encourage them. You can help them to understand a Bible verse in only the way that you can. I can do things, but you can do things in a different way. So every single person in this room can speak into the lives of the children in this room. On a Sunday morning, this is how it's going to work. When we have the people, is the preschoolers, that is age 2 to 4, will be going into kids' church. They will leave at 25 past 10 once the timer comes on. So if you're serving in the rota, you don't need to be there from a 10:15 looking after children for the extra time. You can be in here getting to speak to people, chat to people, maybe eventually have a tea, coffee and a donut, but you will then drop them off at 25 past 10. Andrew has told me that the service will be 1 hour and 15 minutes. We have scheduled those to be 1 hour and 15 minutes. So kids ministry will finish at 11:45. If you are in primary school, as families, we want to encourage you to worship together. So you will stay in with your family. So I will have Grace with me, beside me, worshiping with me. And after that, we'll have a very short break where we just go and drop them off, which leaves a 45-minute gap where you will do a story and some prayer time. Who doesn't want to do a story and a prayer time with children, right? So it's not going to be very much. You see, guys, this is a privilege. We always talk about, in Falkirk Vineyard, we're so keen to reach out to our neighbours and our friends and our work colleagues. And that's what we're always talking about. How can we show people Jesus? But guys, the reality is that our kids are right here. They're actually waiting to hear about Jesus. They're waiting to be prayed for. So actually, if we're saying that, our kids are our neighbors and our friends, and they're waiting here to meet Jesus through you. So at the end of the service today, Lorraine and I will be out here. I would love it if you could come and sign up. The only thing that you need to commit to before that is filling out a PVG if you're not PVG'd, and a child protection. Now, you know that I have thought this through. So, child protection training will be very early. It's going to be this Thursday, and it's going to be at my house. I will even provide a meal for you. So, you're going to come to my house at 7:30. I will cook. Haven't decided what yet. And then, we will do child protection after that. It's a 15-minute presentation. It's not long, okay? If you cannot come this Thursday, next Thursday, you can come to a Zoom online one, which you will log on. I will do a 15-minute presentation on Zoom, and then it's done. That's all it is. It's not a big commitment. So it's this Thursday or next Thursday, and you do that. If neither of those dates works, we can figure something out. Okay? But guys, the idea is not that I'm being bossy, but the idea is that everyone who has children should be on the rota. And everyone who is in this church and loves our church should be on the rota. I see you figuring that out. So, guys, I just want to really say that we love our kids and we love you, but we want to be a church family. And do not discount yourself. If you think you can't get down on the kids on the floor, you don't have to. Bring a chair in, read them a story. Okay? We love you guys, and we want to love our kids well.
So in terms of signing up for team, so Lorraine and I and the leadership team have already committed to sign up to the kids team. So we will be serving on the kids team because we want to show and set an example that our kids are the priority. So if God speaks to us and says, this is what I want you to focus on in this season, then we have to step up as pastors and as leaders. So guys, the table's there. That's the way you're leaving. You'll be leaving by that door, that door. If you can get past Lindsay and Lorraine without them talking to that table, good luck. But let me just quickly just close off because time's short. Obviously, as we move forward, you know, we will be focusing on getting this kids team built up as quickly as possible. But obviously, there's more things that God has for us to do. And I believe that in this coming season, before COVID kicked in, we were praying for revival. Do you remember that? The beginning of 2020, we're meeting here. A lot of people, sometimes up to 30, 35 people come. We're praying to God for revival. And then COVID came. We asked God to do something incredible, and then COVID came. Now, I don't know if that was God's plan in some way, that this was going to, what was he was going to use to shake us up. But I've really been kind of taken back to those times that God did really stir our hearts up to see an avalanche of souls coming into the kingdom of God. And I do believe that in this next season, we have a harvest coming. Yeah? But if we're going to have a harvest, we've got to do something first. We have to sow seeds. And I believe that whatever we sowed last year, and I mentioned some of the things we did through the past 18 months, I believe there's a harvest coming for some of the seeds we've sown. I believe there's a harvest coming at our food pantry because there's been a lot of seed sown there. But when we look at what's past, what's behind us, we can't go back and re-sow in the past. We can only sow in the present and we can only sow in the future. We can't fix stuff that wasn't great. We can't redo the stuff that we wish we'd done better. But what we can do is ask God to water what has already been sown and then get out and get sown again. If we don't sow, we can't ask God for a harvest if we're not sowing seed. Does that make sense? You know, what we're saying is we're going to sit back and just, God just pour it in spite of us. We will need to sow seed. So I just want to encourage you that in this season that has ended, every prayer, every encouragement, every word of knowledge, every prophecy, every sermon, every act of love, everything that you have sown in his name will be reaped and harvest. What you sow, God will water and God will bring to harvest. But as we go forward, if we are to see people coming to faith like we really want to see, that we're praying for, we have to sow seed. And I think we're in a really unique time now, certainly in our lifetimes, in our recent history. I've been thinking that if we were to plant Falkirk Vineyard tomorrow with the resources that we already have and the people we have right now, what would it look like? And that's what I want us to think about over these next few weeks. I want us to get creative. I want us to make new plans. I want us to think of new ways of doing things. But most of all, I want us to start sowing seeds. I want you to share Jesus wherever you are, to pray for people in the moment, to invite people to meet Jesus. Not just an invitation to church, but to invite people into a relationship with Jesus. And if you want to have a harvest, you have to sow seed. But there'll be more of that in the next week or two.